On their ascent up the porch, the old pine lumber beneath their feet hissed and cracked. Making it to the top of the porch, the door welcome mat was now visible and engraved with a message for all visitors. Oliver read it out aloud. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," Joshua 15. With no doorbell camera or speaker to talk through, Oliver raised up his sandy brown and hand made a fist. At first he tapped. Seconds later, he knocked. The white rough grain solid oak door was thick. The door was so thick and solid, if one was to knock hard, the door would have bruised their hands. "Maybe she is not home," said Oliver. Ruth quietly replied, "Her daily activity chart says she has a 97.1% chance of sitting in her living room chair watching 2010-era reality TV shows." Elaborating further, Ruth spoke louder. "Oliver, she has 40% hearing loss according to government bio data." A few seconds later, raising his fists up again, Oliver in rapid series knocked harder. The doorknob began to shake. Soon, the two of them could hear an older woman. With a tremble in her voice, she said, "Hello, who is it? Who are you, and what do you want?" Oliver, in a loud yet calm voice, explained, "Ms. Ducker, my name is Oliver Howard, and this is my partner Ruth Freeman. We are with the Federal Resettlement Administration. My employee ID is number 1965, and hers employee ID is number 1619. Upon speaking louder, Oliver yelled, "Ma'am, we are here to complete an interview as a part of questionnaire that was mailed to you months ago. This is being done in an effort by the FRA to relocate citizens due to the areas of high flood risk." Oliver then added, "Ms. Ducker, we are also here to evaluate how much economic assistance is available for you for living in an at-risk historical Black community being affected by climate change. Was your home also damaged in any recent hurricanes? There may be federal grants and loans available to residents like yourself. We notice you have not attended any of the community virtual meetings." Taking a deeper breath, Oliver mentioned again, "We are also here to help residents like yourself to be relocated out of flood-prone areas." Her voice grew stronger. Ms. Tammy Ducker replied to Oliver in a sassy yet stern loud tone, "Leave my house!" Then she paused from her yell as to gain more breath. Ms. Ducker yelled again, "Don't play with me. Is y'all trying scam me? I am not going through that. Bullshit again with you government types," voice no longer trembling. "Y'all tricked us once before with reparations," she added. "Now carry y'all asses back down my porch and go. Hurry up before I sick them mutts on your red ass and her white ass too," she added in a sassy voice. Just as she said that, both dogs seemed to now be full of energy, immediately up from their slumber and staring intently at both Oliver and Ruth down with a low growl. Ruth, taken several steps backwards down porch looking at her tablet, whispered something to Oliver. Oliver then said calmly, "Ms. Ducker, we are not here to cause problems." Oliver now looking steady at Ms. Ducker in her white robe and house slippers. He stared intensely. Yet, he moved cautiously because old Ms. Ducker had soon picked up her M4 carbine that was behind the door. Ms. Ducker lived alone. Years ago, she had prepositioned it there in case one day the devil came to the door. She was often told by her granddaddy to keep it clean with a light oil, and so when the devil comes knocking, you meet him at the front door with some hot lead. The M4 carbine belonged to her late husband, and Nate always preferred a 30-round clip in all his semi-automatic rifles. Ms. Ducker stored it by the front door, determined to be ready in case a one those black mushroom drug addicts try to rob. Ms. Ducker yelled back with the M4 in one hand, "I ain't leaving my home or accepting any of that funny money for relocating or dealing with government types."